Welcome back to Post Carbon Radio. I'm your co-host Karin Nyhus, along with Bing Gong. Post Carbon Radio covers the climate crisis from a range of perspectives centered on Northern California. Climate change is the ultimate interrelated issue, so we include news and perspectives on clean and dirty energy, the economy, social justice, and even war and peace. We want to both inform and inspire you by connecting you to people, movements, and new ideas about climate change from around the world and right here in West Marin County. Today, we have an exciting lineup of guests who will update us on progress in Northern California on green energy, green jobs, and energy democracy.
Okay, and on the phone we have Jamie Tuckey, Communications Director of Marin Clean Energy, a public, not-for-profit electricity provider whose mission is to address climate change by reducing energy-related greenhouse gas emissions and securing energy supply, price stability, energy efficiencies, and local economic and workforce benefits. Jamie, welcome to Post Carbon Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
And also on the phone, we have Jessica Tovar, who is an organizer for Local Clean Energy Alliance. She has worked as an environmental justice organizer for over a decade and in a variety of urban, rural, and indigenous communities throughout California and Arizona. She is currently working with the East Bay Clean Power Alliance, an advocacy group working in Alameda County for community choice energy in the East Bay.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, welcome, Jessica.
And in studio, we have Woody Hastings from the Center for Climate Protection. Woody Hastings is the Renewable Energy Implementation Manager for the Center for Climate Protection. He's an energy and environmental policy analyst, strategic planner, and community organizer with over 27 years of experience in the nonprofit, governmental, and private sectors. Welcome, Woody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, all of you, for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Well, I want to start off with just mentioning the climate march that happened Saturday in Oakland. It was to send a message to Governor Brown that he should be leading on climate change and not sitting back. And it was, I think, attended by around over 8,000 people who came together. Buses came over from all over California, and they marched from downtown Oakland to Lake Merritt, where there were speakers and lots of indigenous peoples. And I noticed a lot of union organizers were there speaking out in favor of, or not in favor, they, who were anti-fracking. So... Yeah, that was quite a lively demonstration, very festive. So why don't we get in our discussion on clean energy?
Well, I'm just curious who all was there. Woody, I know you were there today. Jessica and Jamie, did you all have a chance to go on Saturday?
Yes, I was there.
That's Jessica, right?
Yes.
This is Jamie. I was not there, but there were other attendees from Marin Clean Energy.
And does either of you, let's start with Jessica, do you have any words you want to add to Bing's summary of what went on Saturday?
Yeah, it was definitely a very colorful and huge march, and I feel like there was definitely a lot of representation both from, you know, the local and folks addressing, you know, the global issue of climate change. It was very fun. And we did have a little bout of rain here and there, so for the most part, the sunshine came out, and so did a lot of the community and a lot of the environmental and social justice activists in our community, which was great.
And I just want to mention that we should follow the lead of New York, who just passed a ban against fracking.
And Woody, did you have any words you wanted to add about the march?
Well, I would just echo what Bing and Jessica said. It was a wonderful sort of a reunion. You know, if you've been going to these for years, a lot of people, same people, come to them. And I saw a lot of sort of follow up on social media. There was a good write up in the Press Democrat, and so perhaps some other news media picked it up, but I haven't seen that.
All right. Well, to refresh our listeners, if you were with us last time, and we're on every other Monday, last time we had the Main Street Moms, and we talked about the problems with fracking, and we talked about problems with nuclear as well. But today we're moving from false solutions and dirty energy to real solutions and clean energy. So as we make that transition, what do you want to say about, you know, where we go from this march on Saturday? You know, where are we heading? What's happening with clean energy in Northern California?
Well, I think the really exciting thing that's been happening in the last few years is the emergence of community choice energy. And folks here in Marin County, and I know Jamie can speak to this, you know, Marin Clean Energy was launched in 2010 and is serving folks here in Marin County with cleaner energy at lower rates. And also in Sonoma County, second community choice energy program in the state to emerge, just launched this past last year in May. Just this past December, the final eligible city in Sonoma County, Petaluma, voted unanimously to join. So every city, you know, they had a chance to really take a look at it as a program up and running, and they really liked what they saw, as did Rohnert Park in Cloverdale. So it's really sort of a vote of confidence that, yeah, you know, when you get a chance to look at community choice energy up close, the cities like what they see. So again, in the case of Sonoma Clean Power, serving folks in Sonoma County with cleaner energy at lower rates. So that's the exciting thing that's emerging, and it's emerging all around the state now.
I'm just curious that Main Street Moms was on Post-Carbon the time before, a couple weeks ago, and they mentioned about Deep Green, the option for Deep Green. Do you, and they were trying to move. They even put an ad in our local paper to get people to move to 100% green. Do you have that feature?
Sure.
Too?
Well, that's a Marin Clean Energy program, and Jamie can talk about that. And then with Sonoma Clean Power, we have a similar one. It's called Evergreen. It's a 100% green energy option.
So, Jamie, you want to speak to that?
Yeah. Well, we offer two different options in Marin. We have light green, and that's 50% renewable energy. The cost is less than what you would pay for PG&E, and they're at 22% renewable. And then we also offer the deep green. And like you all were saying, it's a 100% renewable energy option. And it's a modest monthly premium of about $5 more per month than you would pay with PG&E. So it's a really great way to, you know, reduce your carbon footprint, and it's a very small cost to do so.
And if I
to anyone in our service area,
and if I live in Marin and I'm not sure if I have Deep Green or I think I want it, what do I do?
Yeah, well, you guys can call us. Our phone number, you can call us, or you can go to our website, mceclean.org. And we can let people know whether or not they're a customer. They can also look at their bill. Probably the quickest way to do it is just look at your bill, and on the front page there'll be a line item for MCE, and that'll determine whether or not you're a light green or deep green customer.
Okay. And what does it mean? I mean, 100% renewable, how renewable is it? What sources are we talking about?
Yeah, it's 100% wind energy, and we are certified by an organization called GreenE. They're a third-party organization that basically verifies that we are actually indeed purchasing 100% renewable energy for Deep Green customers. One of the really cool things about the program is that if you choose Deep Green, like I said, you'd pay a premium of about $5 a month for your typical home, but half of that premium is put into a local development fund. So we use some of the funds that come for Deep Green to build new local solar projects within our service area.
Great. And Woody, what's the situation? What's the parallel in Sonoma County? We have a lot of Sonoma County listeners.
Sure. Real briefly, with Sonoma Clean Power, and you can find out information at sonomacleanpower.org, the Evergreen product there is 100% geothermal power from the geysers that is located actually in Sonoma County. So it's also local. So yeah, you've got that option too. And you know, I think the real significant thing in the bigger picture is what Marin Clean Energy and Sonoma Clean Power are doing is introducing a choice for folks in the electricity arena that they haven't had really in 100 years. This is a representative of a transformation that's underway. The community choice programs are sort of leading the way in a sort of evolution away from the old big power plants and big transmission lines, just take what you get, to a system where there's more sharing, more choice, first of all, more local control, and an ability for more people to participate, which in a word maybe you could say, or two words, is energy democracy. You know, building energy democracy where more people participate and more people in communities benefit. And I know Jessica can speak to that well, too.
I was just going to say, we've been talking about the North Bay, but we've got Jessica here who, you know, holding it down for the East Bay. So, Jessica, what do you want to add into this discussion about the impacts and opportunities in the East Bay?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you know, a lot of what, like, the climate justice movement has addressed is that oftentimes people of color and low-income people are the first hit and to experience, you know, the devastation from the impact to the climate. And we have the least resources to deal with that issue. And I think through community choice, we can definitely find solutions to a lot of our, you know, environmental issues in our community. And I think what's really awesome about community choice is that there's definitely room for the local organizations and efforts to be a part of, you know, shaping what that is, like where, you know, the local projects of where our energy comes from, for example. You know, I live in the Bay Area, and there's these local organizations that bring young people to install solar on top of roofs. And they're training these young people, and we want to be able to create jobs that sustain these young people to continue doing that kind of work, because ultimately that is the type of energy that we want to invest in our community. And it's definitely something we want to benefit from long term. And I think that there's, you know, a huge incentive for that. But also there's also the issue of just transition. So we have a lot of a workforce that has been working in dirty energy. And so now it's time to start, you know, investing in training them to be part of that workforce that in alternative sustainable sources of energy, wind, solar, et cetera. So this is a huge opportunity for our communities. And I think it's something that decentralizes our sources of energy and definitely puts the power in our hands. You know, having been an organizer in the environmental justice movement, dealing with a lot of, like, you know, the racist placement of sources of energy and working with families who suffer from asthma and cancer, you know, we've learned and we bore that brunt and we want to see solutions. And through community choice, there's a whole multitude of benefits that we can, you know, start brainstorming and putting to work through community choice. So that's what I'm excited about.
You just heard the voice of Jessica Tovar, who's an organizer for Local Clean Energy Alliance. We're having a conversation on clean energy in Northern California, and also in the studio, we have Woody Hastings of the Center for Climate Protection in Sonoma, and Jamie Tuckey, Communication Director with Marine Clean Energy, on the phone.
So, Jessica, it was great to hear that connection made between, you know, Woody mentioned a term that's kind of new to me, which is energy democracy, and then what I hear you saying also is both localization and that there's social justice and finally maybe getting some of those green jobs we've been trying to get, right, for
exactly
quite a while. Can you just do us a favor and just define community choice in case we have some listeners, community choice aggregation, or I don't know.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think it has, first and foremost, again, just, you know, having some empowerment in the decisions of where our sources of energy comes from is a huge thing that stands out to me within the definition of community choice, and really defining, like, what that looks like in our local communities. And right now we're entrenched in an effort in Alameda County pushing for a community choice energy program here. And Alameda County is certainly very different from Marin and Sonoma, being that it is very huge, it is very diverse, and there's already a lot of efforts both from the environmental justice movement and the clean energy movement here, where people want to really be part of that process in shaping that program, you know, from beginning to completion. And so that's something that, you know, we're working on here within the East Bay Clean Power Alliance, and that is a group of local advocates within this county that are pushing for community choice here locally.
And Woody, do you want to say a word more about what you mean by energy democracy?
Well, first I wanted to just sort of, if I may, just add that, you know, one of the reasons that the Center for Climate Protection embarked on the effort to get Sonoma Clean Power started way back in 2005, really, initiated the process, you know, was to create, we identified it as an excellent opportunity for greenhouse gas reduction and an excellent model that could be replicated in other communities. And, you know, that hope is really coming true now with dozens of communities across California looking at community choice as a model not just for clean energy, but now to get to sort of the definition of energy democracy, a model where, as I said, more people are involved, more people stand to benefit. Communities have greater decision-making power about, you know, what kind of benefits are going to accrue to their own community. And really, these are not-for-profit entities. They're local government entities established by state law, passed way back in 2002. And so, you know, it's an opportunity for cities and counties to serve their communities with, you know, the new emerging technologies that are allowing for, you know, distributed energy, but also distributed economics and distributed benefits, right? So it's really, you know, that's what we mean by energy democracy, more voices being heard. And I think Jessica speaks well to that.
And Jamie, I want to bring you back in because Marin's been around. You guys launched first, right?
That's right.
And now you have some East Bay cities that are signing up with you. Can you talk about the link between Marin Clean Energy and the East Bay and kind of what lessons you've learned? The counties are very different demographically, right?
Yes,
But what lessons has Marin Clean Energy learned and what's new that's happening in the East Bay as they come online?
Yeah. Well, we've been offering service to customers in Marin for almost 5 years now. It'll be 5 years in May. And we partnered with the city of Richmond about 2 years ago in 2013 to offer clean energy choices to the city of Richmond and all of the residential and commercial customers within it. And it's been a really successful partnership. Jessica was talking about some organizations in the East Bay that help create and support jobs that are related to energy efficiency and renewable development. And we've actually partnered with a few of those to support our own initiatives and local build out there, including Richmond Build or Rising Sun Energy Center, or Strategic Energy Innovations. We've got 5 new solar projects that are planned to be built in the city of Richmond that will be serving clean energy for our customers. So it's great to be offering a choice. It's great to be offering something that's more affordable and that provides stable rates for our customers. And so our move into Richmond, I think, has been a really wonderful opportunity. We are also going to be offering service to the city of El Cerrito and San Pablo this May. So there's a little bit more expansion over there into the East Bay.
Wonderful. In order to get our energy more local, what initiatives are happening now? Like, I know when Marin Clean Energies first came on board, there was talk about maybe floating bonds to finance solar arrays, locality. Can you say anything about that, Woody?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jamie.
All right. Well, for Marin Clean Energy, we're not using any bonds at this point, but we do have something called a feed-in tariff, and I know Sonoma Clean Power has something that's very similar, which incentivizes local development. And so I mentioned that there are going to be five new projects in the East Bay. That doesn't include six that are going to be built in Marin, and almost all of those are through feed-in tariff projects. It's basically a standard contract that's on the table for anyone who wants to use it. It's a 20-year contract at set rates where we will buy 100% of the power output from that project. So we built the largest, well, we didn't build it, but there was the largest solar project built at the San Rafael Airport a couple of years ago under that feed-in tariff, and now we're seeing all kinds of interest popping up, and so that's where all of our other projects that are being planned are coming from.
Maybe we should explain to our listeners that don't know about feed-in tariffs. Could you, Woody, explain what that is?
Sure. It is basically, as Jamie said, it's a standard offer. It's a standard contract that Marin Clean Energy and Sonoma Clean Power publish to prospective energy developers. And it has certain terms. It's standard for everybody. And they can just step up to the plate and say, yeah, I like the rate you're planning to pay for this period of time. And I will build a project on this warehouse rooftop. And you will get clean power. So it's basically a standard offer. And, on this whole front of developing local resources, let's remember there's deployment of solar. There's development. It's coming up all the time. In Sonoma County, it's been going in at a clip of about 4 megawatts capacity per year for the last 10 or 15 years, that rate. And so what the community choice programs have the power to do is, and they don't get a magic wand, right? But so they can just wave a magic wand and poof, all the rooftops have solar the next day. But what they can do is help accelerate that deployment rate. And we see that happening with the feed-in tariff and with something else called net metering, which is for anyone that has solar on their rooftop. That's an arrangement with the utility or with Sonoma Clean Power or Marin Clean Energy for payback for any surplus electricity, clean energy you feed to the grid. And in both cases, that net metering program is superior to the one that exists with Pacific Gas and Electric. So it's a further incentive for folks to put solar on their own rooftop. So it's things like that, programs. And Sonoma Clean Power just recently authorized two new varieties of that net metering program for people with certain circumstances. So it's really about accelerating it. And I think in, as we see community choice programs emerge, like in Lancaster, looks like it's going to be the next one that's going to start their program in Southern California in May. That's a single city doing it. And a single city doing a community choice program has what's called a credit rating and has a greater ability to issue a revenue bond to build a large project. And in fact, we've heard that they are planning to do that kind of thing. So depending on the kind of community choice program you have, it might be easier or more difficult depending on the community choice program.
What's the status in San Francisco? I know they've been trying to push it through.
There has been, I would say there's been a breakthrough in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Just at the tail end of January, there was a big meeting down there with the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission where they are now, it's been sort of in a stall mode for the last 2 years. The mayor, Ed Lee, came out recently supporting the Clean Power SF program, it's called there. And it looks like they are on track. They've asked staff to come back with a timeline for getting going on starting up the program this year. So that's looking very promising. If San Francisco goes, that's big. That's going to really encourage a lot of these other communities around the state that are evaluating community choice.
That's very encouraging, and it makes me think, I want to sort of get a gut check from you and your intellectual sense as well. Jessica, how's the East Bay feeling? How's the momentum over there? How does green power play in the communities you work in?
Well, definitely there's a lot of excitement around community choice, and there's obviously there's been an ongoing movement around clean energy. But we're definitely in a different, we're kind of in the starting phases in working with the county. And right now we've been able to really establish ourselves in getting the county to agree to have, a single oversight committee of this project. And initially they were pushing for a separate committee where stakeholders were on one end and then technical advisors were on another end and had more power over the other. Of course, we were like, that's not how this is going to play out. We want a seat, an active seat at the table, and we want to be part of this process. So for us, we're really getting started We're using a lot of Marin and Sonoma's, experience and wisdom in getting their program going. And so for us, we're really engaging a lot more community now and definitely, encouraging more people to join us in this effort. It's going to be a long one, but it's going to be, it's going to be good for us in the end. So that's what we're excited about.
You're listening to Post Carbon Radio on KWMR. We've got with us in the studio Woody Hastings from the Center for Climate Protection. We have Jessica Tovar, who you just heard from the Local Clean Energy Alliance. And Jessica, can you rename the East Bay Clean Power Group?
Yeah, it's the East Bay Clean Power Alliance, and it's made up of advocates that live not only in Oakland and Berkeley, but as far as Hayward and other communities within Alameda County, all of which are very unique. And I feel like we're going to learn about a lot more community benefits through community choice, being that there is a lot of diversity in terms of the cities within Alameda County. So that's something that, that we're definitely working on and bringing people together to be a part of this.
Great. And we're also joined by Jamie Tuckey on the phone from Marin Clean Energy. Jamie, do you have any comments you want to add about sort of how Marin and Sonoma can help the East Bay get launched and what lessons, what was easy and what was hard about launching clean power for Marin?
Yeah, well, we'd love to help as much as possible. We're definitely here to, stand as a resource and answer any questions or share any of our, documents that were created to help with the startup. I think for us, what was instrumental was having a wonderful advocacy community in Marin who was incredibly enthusiastic about supporting our startup and spreading the word about Marin Clean Energy and its benefits and what it could mean for customers. I think that's something that's crucial, and I bet Woody would say the same about Sonoma, for having those community relationships in the beginning. And I think just, being clear about what your goals are and taking those one day at a time, I'm really excited to see more community choice in the East Bay.
So you're listening to Post Carbon Radio, KWMR, and today our discussion is on an update on clean energy in Northern California and beyond. We're with Jamie Tucker, Woody Hastings, from the Sonoma Center for
Climate Protection.
Climate Protection, and Jamie Tuckey, Communications Director, Marin Clean Energy, and Jessica Tovar with the East Bay Clean Energy Alliance. So, where did we leave off?
Well, Woody, I was wondering if you had any comments to follow on Jamie's about sort of lessons learned, what was hard, what was easy, what community involvement. How does community involvement make clean power happen?
Well, of course, this is community choice energy, so it's all about a community rising up and saying we want this, and that's what happened in Marin County. And the credit really goes to Marin County, the kudos for really beating down the barricades and doing it first. And their experience will go down in history as unlike no other that'll come, because I think the powers that be, we know who we're talking about, the investor-owned utility in this area.
Say that again slowly, because I don't think everybody knows.
Pacific Gas and Electric fought tooth and nail, over $4 million, Jamie, to stop Marin Clean Energy from ever launching in the first place.
Yeah, I think it was $46 million.
Well, $46 million was on the proposition, and then in Marin County alone, I think somewhere around $4 million. And so we did not experience the kind of obstructive efforts. The whole dynamic was different for us in Sonoma County, but we do have a lot of lessons learned. The Center for Climate Protection certainly stands at the ready to help other communities launch their programs, and that, in fact, is sort of my work plan for the next year or two. And then I can't speak for Sonoma Clean Power specifically. I don't work for Sonoma Clean Power, but certainly their website has lots of good information, and I think they are very interested in helping other communities do these things.
What is their status? What's the status of Sonoma Clean Power? How launched are they?
Oh, Sonoma Clean Power launched service in May. And just this past December, Petaluma was the final eligible city in the county to join and they to vote, and they voted unanimously to join. So now every eligible city in the county is participating, and they will Petaluma, Roanoke Park, and Cloverdale were the ones that didn't join right away. So similar process occurred in Marin 5 years ago, and so by summertime, those three remaining cities will be rolled in, and everyone in the county, other than the city of Healdsburg in Sonoma County, will have access to the Sonoma Clean Power. The reason Healdsburg is not part of it is they have their own publicly owned utility. They do the whole thing, the poles and the wires, and the electricity sources as well.
And is that because they have their own local geothermal, or how did that happen?
Well, it happened a long time ago. There are about 25% of folks in the state of California are served by publicly owned utilities, like the Sacramento Municipal Utilities District or Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. Those are different from the private Pacific Gas and Electric, Southern California Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric. Those are the three big private utilities in the state, and then the rest of them are publicly owned utilities. So that's sort of the broad sketch of the kinds of electricity service providers. And then community choice is a third. So we sometimes call it an odd-shaped puzzle in an odd, complex puzzle piece. Anyway. Are we going to talk about some of these things that are coming up? I don't want to.
Yeah, we have the whole hour, so okay. I think. Okay. But feel free if you want to jump into that now, if it makes sense.
Actually, Woody, before you do, this is Jamie. I wanted to jump in. Just some of the things you were talking about right now made me think about some of the challenges that I think community choice energy programs have when starting up, and I think, you know, one of the main challenges is that it's newer in California, these types of programs. You know, Sonoma Clean Power is offering service, and we've been around for about 5 years. But before these programs started, we didn't have any other options in California. And a lot of people don't think about their electricity bills. You know, they simply pay them. And so bringing these new options in, which is fantastic because of all the community benefits like we've talked about, can be, you know, a little bit of a it can lead to a learning curve for people who are trying to understand what their new options are, because, I mean, they really are like a hybrid between an investor-owned utility like PG&E or a municipal utility like the one up in Sonoma County or the one in Sacramento. So I think making sure that you're able to clearly communicate how these community choice programs work with the investor-owned utilities to provide new renewable energy services is important.
And Jessica, do you have anything you want to add to this?
I just want to say that, again, I think because of how huge Alameda County is and how diverse it is that we're going to be able to see that there's a lot of community benefits that we're not able to see just yet. And this is really going to entail a lot of engagement of different people throughout the different cities that make up Alameda County. And hopefully this, again, will inspire other communities that have yet to shape community choice within their county and cities. So hopefully we can play that role of inspiring just the same way the Marin and Sonoma County communities have been for us. And we're definitely, again, excited about that opportunity and, you know, working with the other communities to make that happen throughout the state.
Well, I see it so encouraging to see this happening locally, and because nothing's really happening at the national level. The heads of the important committees are climate deniers, in fact. So rather than wait for them, we're going ahead. We're not waiting for them to pass any policy legislation. But I just wanted to mention this picture that I think it originated with Lions, and it's a picture of politicians in underwater, up to their neck, in fact, discussing global energy. It kind of says it all.
I think so. A lot of us feel that way after how many years of UN negotiations. It's hard not to be cynical, so it's exciting. I agree that stuff's happening now. So I'd like to do a round robin with each of our guests and ask you, if everything went your way, everything you hope for, you wish for, went your way, what would be the best case scenario you could see for clean power in your district and with your clean power authority?
That's a big one.
I know.
This is Jessica. Well, definitely, again, just reiterating a lot of the environmental justice history and a lot of struggles of low-income people and people of color. I mean, really, what that entails is that there would not be any dirty energy, that we would have made that switch to renewables yesterday. We would have green jobs yesterday. We would have, we wouldn't be battling, these corporations. We would be running, the types of businesses we want to see locally and generating clean energy and having community be part of that process. It's always great to have this question because it's like, take a step back. I think our community here in the East Bay definitely has a vision for what that looks like. But when you have roadblocks such as PG&E and other corporations, it's a long time struggle, and it has been. And certainly, we have to remain vigilant. And at the same time, we have to encourage a lot of younger people and new people in this movement to continue this work because, again, it's long term.
This is Jamie, and I would add, and to complement the renewable energy and the job creation and the community heart, I would say that reducing how much electricity people use through energy efficiency programs is also really important, and I'm looking forward to seeing that shift in our communities. It's going to save resources for our environment and also for our wallets. So energy efficiency programs, in addition to renewable energy, is really a win-win.
Woody, do you want to take a stab at
Yeah,
that?
I sure do. I mean, first, I think even though Center for Climate Protection spent 9 years getting Sonoma Clean Power up and running, this is now just the beginning, really, with community choice just getting started in Sonoma County and Marin. It's still the very early period. And so the purpose, what I see is community choice, these programs helping to set our communities, providing models for other communities and, getting that, action happening without waiting for the federal or the UN to move, to set us on a trajectory in the right direction to a point where we can begin shutting down some of these polluting plants in communities, right? One of the ways I could also put it is we recently, this past year, 2014, was the 50th anniversary of the decision by PG&E to abandon its plans for a nuclear power plant at Bodega Head. Now, they didn't cancel those plans because they decided it wasn't a good idea. They canceled those plans because they were forced to by the community that rose up and identified all of the hazards and problems and reasons why it's an absolutely insane prospect to put a nuclear power plant at Bodega Head. Here in California today in 2015, there's only one operating nuclear power plant in the state of California. And I think if we remain vigilant and keep pushing, we can end up with a world where we've got clean energy, energy democracy, more people benefiting, and local communities healthier and more vibrant.
I heard that reminds me of something Dr. Henry Clark said at a climate convergence several years ago in the East Bay. Somebody asked him the blue sky question, if you could have everything you wanted, what would your ultimate goal be? And he said that in his case, it was Chevron Corporation would be transformed into an entirely clean energy company that was run, for the benefit of the local community and that local people got jobs in that clean energy economy.
That brings to mind there was when American Clean Energy was just starting out, there was critique of it that they were relying on this huge corporation like Shell for their electricity. Is that still the case, I guess, Jamie?
Right. That's a great thing to bring up. Mm-hmm. We are still purchasing from Shell Energy, but we've diversified our suppliers greatly. We currently have contracts with 17 different energy suppliers to provide energy for our customers and to ensure that we've got a sufficient supply of affordable energy. The contract with Shell Energy is expiring in 2019. So after that point, we will no longer be purchasing energy from them. One other thing I just want to add in there, since you were mentioning Chevron, is that we are actually going to be leasing land from Chevron in the city of Richmond, and we're going to be building a 10-megawatt ground mount solar installation so that we'll be able to provide more local renewable energy for our customers.
And is there any effort or principle around that to get jobs to local people in Richmond?
Yes, there is. There are definitely going to be policies in place for local hire and for union labor.
You're listening to KWMR Radio. This is the Post-Carbon Radio Show. And today we're talking about emerging clean energy choices in California and beyond with Jamie Tuckey, who you just heard from the Center for, Marin Clean Energy. We're with Woody Hastings in studio from the Center for Climate Protection in Sonoma County, and with Jessica Tovar with the Local Clean Energy Alliance and the East Bay Clean Power Alliance in the East Bay. So, Woody, did you want to add anything to what Jamie said?
What sources are your in Sonoma?
Right. So it is diverse as well in Sonoma County. Multiplicity of contracts for new solar to the tune of about 70 megawatts that's being developed in Kings County, and contracts with the geysers, as I mentioned earlier, the geothermal power, hydroelectric power. So it's a diverse mix, and it's not that there's two products. Again, there's the Evergreen we talked about, which is 100% geothermal, and then the basic service that everyone gets defaults to is 33% California renewable and 34% lower in greenhouse gas emissions than PG&E's mix, and at rates that are 5 to 8% below PG&E.
Kind of hard to say no to that.
Yeah, what's not to love?
And if you don't love it enough and you want more, then what do you do to get signed up for the 100% geothermal?
That's an option for people to do if you're in the service territory of Sonoma Clean Power, which is basically all of Sonoma County except for the city of Healdsburg.
And how do you do that?
SonomaCleanPower.org, and right on the front homepage, you'll see the three big choices, which is Clean Start, Evergreen, and Opt Out. You can opt out and stay completely with PG&E if you choose.
So it sounded to me from something you all were saying before that part of what's going is part of what's happening as people get signed up for these programs is that new sources of revenue are being created that are starting to fund the construction of local clean energy, right? And so is that going to gradually, am I correct that that's going to gradually over time shift where the sources come from?
Jamie?
Yes, I would say absolutely. I had mentioned earlier that we've got a lot of new renewables that are being built for us. We've got about 187 megawatts of new renewables being built in California. That's mostly solar with a little bit of wind. We've also got 11 local projects that are being built in the county of Marin and city of Richmond. And that's really exciting because we didn't have that as an option at all before MCE was offering service. So it's really great to be seeing a shift towards renewable energy that's closer to home, because that also supports our local economy with local jobs.
So would you say that over time, if things go well, that these sort of grassroots, organic, smaller scale facilities that are being built, is the notion that they will gradually supplant the old, big, dirty power stations?
Yeah, I mean, our ultimate goal is to provide 100% renewable energy for all of our customers. That's been our long-term goal. And actually, since we launched service, we've been able to increase our light green. When we started 5 years ago, light green was 25% renewable, and today it's 50% renewable. So, you know, we are working towards that ultimate goal of having 100% renewable energy and as much of it being within our service area as possible.
So I think as we've got maybe 10 minutes left in our hour, and there's a lot to look at going forward and some interesting events coming up. So one thing I'd like to make sure we get time to talk about is a conference coming up called Clean Power, Healthy Communities. And as I understand it, this is the fifth annual conference. Is that right, Bing?
I believe so, but I guess, Jessica, you could speak to it.
Sure. Yeah, I believe it is the fifth annual, and that is coming up on March 5th here in Oakland. And if you want to get more information about that, definitely check out the website localcleanenergy.org. We have some great keynote speakers, Nikki Silvestri and Denise Fairchild from Green for All and Emerald Cities. And we have different workshops and different panels, and we'll be talking a lot about energy democracy. So definitely sign up for that. It is open, however, it is very limited. So definitely register as soon as you can. Again, that's localcleanenergy.org.
Great. And for North Bay listeners who may not be as familiar with East Bay institutions, can you just say a word about who Green for All is, one of the sponsors?
Sure. Green for All is one of the organizations who has pretty much talked a lot about, for example, the green jobs issue. And so we do have a woman speaking from that organization, and as well as the other organization I'm not too familiar with. Maybe Woody can chime in if he has any other insight on the other org.
But also, he's shaking his head, but Bay Localize is the chief sponsor, is that right?
Bay Localize, that's the organization that, you know, is the local clean energy hub. But yeah, we're definitely hosting it and bringing together a lot of, you know, environmental justice folks, as well as folks working on the ground on the solutions issues, coming together to talk a lot about energy democracy.
And I was there at one of those several years ago, and there were representatives from government at various levels. I mean, there were people from all different sectors. Woody, I know you're going to be speaking. Do you have some words?
I will be. I'll be moderating a panel on community choice energy, and we'll have folks from some of the efforts all around the state, really. There's a community choice effort in San Diego and one in San Luis Obispo, so we'll have folks from around the state there. I just wanted to add that I think what Jessica meant by limited is that this is really, in my view, the best energy conference in the Bay Area, annual energy conference in the Bay Area, and you know, it always sells out. So if you want to go, get on to localcleanenergy.org and register now, because that's it is limited in that sense. The room only holds so many people. And, you know, what's unique about it, it's not just energy and kilowatts and wonky technical stuff. It's energy with a human touch. It's energy and how does developing local clean energy impact communities and people. And so it really talks about that social justice aspect and environmental justice piece of it, which you really don't hear about at so many of these energy conferences and energy webinars that are out there.
Yeah, what I've really heard you make, all of our guests make the connection today, is between clean power, which is the energy, you know, the power that comes through your plug, and community power that makes clean energy and clean power happen. And this conference showcases that like nothing else, and you'll meet wonderful people. It's, again, March 5th in Oakland, California. And Woody, since you're speaking, do you remember what building it's in?
Well, it's at the California Endowment, which is on, Jessica, it's on Broadway, right? Anyway.
I believe so.
Yeah,
California Endowment Conference Center.
1111 Broadway, something like that.
Not seeing it. Anyway, go online to localcleanenergy.org if you want to attend. So in our last few minutes, I think I'd like to do a round and see what everyone thinks about the future. What's the trajectory? What's coming up? What's on your radar? What are you working on next for clean power in your community? What do you want to start?
Well, I actually just wanted to mention one other thing that's coming up that's not so much in the crosshairs of Center for Climate Protection, but it is coming up, and it's Global Divestment Day, and it's coming up this Friday, February 13th. And there are going to be events all over California. There's a main one outside of the California Public Employees Retirement building in Sacramento. This is about divesting, you know, the state's retirement funds divesting from fossil fuels. So Global Divestment Day, there's going to be the big event in Sonoma County is at the Santa Rosa Junior College from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. And, you know, this is all about calling on the state of California and our other large institutions to divest from fossil fuels. So folks can find out more about that at fossilfreeca.org.
I just see in this email I got that Norway's sovereign wealth fund at $850 billion, the world's largest, is divesting from coal and tar sands companies on climate grounds. That's huge, I think.
Jamie, do you want to give a word about what's coming up for Marin Clean Energy?
Thanks. Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I had mentioned earlier in the show that we are going to be offering service to some new communities. We're currently offering service to customers who are in unincorporated Napa County. We just started offering service to people in the county of Napa this month. So they are able to choose light green and deep green as an alternative to PG&E's energy at lower rates. We're also going to be offering service to the cities of Benicia, El Cerrito, and San Pablo all in May. So we're seeing a lot of growth. It looks like, you know, there could be approximately 50,000 new customers in these communities over the next few months. So we're excited about doing lots of outreach in those new cities and towns and making sure that all of the customers are equipped with the information that is necessary to make the best choice for them about their electric service provider. And people can learn more about MCE and their choices at mceCleanEnergy.org.
Great. And Jessica, you all are in a different phase. You're still in the community building and power building phase. What's coming up for the local Clean Energy Alliance and the East Bay Clean Power folks?
Okay. Well, apart from the conference, we're definitely organizing on the ground with both organizations and individuals and trying to bring more people together throughout the county to be a part of this process. So definitely contact me if you'd like more information. My email is just jessica@baylocalize.org.
So jessica@baylocalize.org. And again, the site for the conference is?
It's the California Endowment Conference Center in Oakland, and that'll be March 5th. So you can get more information at localcleanenergy.org.
Great. Well, I really want to thank all our guests for being here today. We've had Woody Hastings from the Center for Climate Protection, Jessica Tovar, who you just heard, with the Local Clean Energy Alliance and the East Bay Clean Power Alliance, and Jamie Tuckey on the phone from Marin Clean Energy. Thank you so much for being on Post Carbon Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for listening to Post Carbon Radio. You can listen to all our archived Post Carbon Radio programs at wmpostcarbon.com.
We produce, we need to start striving for a solution to reduce. When we burn fossil fuels like coal and gasoline, we're using dirty energies when we should be using clean. When we burn, we're adding to the greenhouse effect. CO2, CH4, and N2O collect in our atmosphere. They remain up there for years and years, absorbing sun rays that come near. But we need to persevere, cause this makes our planet's temp rise fast. So why can't we find a way to cut back on our greenhouse gas?
We have waited too long. Act now, before the moment's gone. The situation's tough, but stay strong until we see the dawn.
The climate's on my mind, climate's on my mind. Climate's on my mind, the climate's on my mind. The climate's on my mind, the climate's on my mind. The climate's on my mind, the climate's on my mind.
The most most abundant greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide, beats of methane, nitrous oxide, and the F gases by landslide. Everyone releases it when they drive, unless you have an electric ride. It's almost 400 parts per million, and the main reason for climate's rise. Deforestation makes it worse when the trees decay. CO2 dispersed, also dead trees can't breathe it in. Makes it hard to cut back our emissions. Temperature is on the rise, all other animals can blame us, because we are where the fault lies, and it's coming back to maim us. Rising climate poses many problems to the human race. Extreme weather like Katrina and Haiyan, we'll have to embrace. The glaciers are melting, and the sea level's rising at a fast pace. People living on the coast are going to be displaced. Certain species extinct, less water to drink. Other areas too wet, floods a big threat. Other areas dry out, susceptible to drought. Agriculture hit hard, coral reefs will be marred.
We have waited too long. Situation's tough, but stay strong until we see the dawn.
The climate's on my mind, the climate's on my mind.